to kneel or not to kneel? That is the question facing NFL football players since last year when Colin Kaepernick took a knee during the national anthem. He did it not to dishonor America or our service personnel or even police officers. He was protesting what he and many Americans believe to be wrongdoings against African Americans and other minorities in the United States. Right or wrong, Mr. Kaepernick used his platform as a professional football player to bring attention to an issue he holds dear. Whether we agree with Mr. Kaepernick's methods, the truth is inescapable. Some 50 plus years after the Civil Rights Act, people in our nation are still too often discriminated against, even persecuted, or have their civil rights violated because of the color of their skin, their gender, their sexual identity, their physical abilities, or even their mental health. Understandably, many people, even those who share his civil rights concerns, do not agree with Mr. Kaepernick's protest. They believe the football field isn't the right forum for political protest. They fear, though perhaps unintended, such a protest can appear disparaging to our nation, our flag, or our troops. Many are deeply hurt and offended by what they see when professional football players take a knee. The cultural conversation surrounding Mr. Kaepernick's protest reached a fevered pitch the past couple of weeks when President Trump made some disparaging remarks about NFL players participating in the protest. Not surprisingly, many players, coaches, and owners took exception to President Trump's comments. Conversations were had. Formal statements were made. The protests grew. Clearly, the question, to kneel or not to kneel, has touched a nerve, and the pain is not going away anytime soon. Most everyone has a passionate opinion on this matter and is willing to share. While some of the more measured and thoughtful responses give me hope, I fear if some of the comments on Facebook and Twitter are any measure, the anger, disparagement, and division are going to get worse before getting better. I mention this most recent skirmish in our endless culture wars not to tell you what side a Christian should choose. By now, many of you have formed your opinions, and like so often before, we are going to have people of good faith on all sides of this argument. But I do want to take a moment to offer an alternative to choosing sides. As Christians, we have every right to join the debate, marshal our arguments, fight our battles, and thank God so many have done so courageously in the face of discrimination, injustice, and persecution. But what do we do when the way isn't so clear? When people of good faith disagree on consequential matters? How do we come to know God and God's will for our lives? Consider the current conflict. If we see it as an argument about who loves America more, no one wins. Equally futile would be any attempt to determine whose side God is on. But I do think we can find a Christian response that is not divisive, but redemptive. Let's assume for a moment both sides love America and appreciate the sacrifices made by our service personnel. We can't search anyone's heart, and the protesters have said their intent isn't to disparage our nation or dishonor our troops. So we take them at their word. Let's agree to disagree on whether the NFL is the appropriate platform for political statements. Even if we could agree, one way or the other, do we really gain that much? Protest or not, I'm still going to watch the Packers. And you're probably still going to watch the Lions. I don't know why, but you will. So what's left? The real issues. People in our nation are still too often discriminated against, persecuted, and have their civil rights violated because of the color of their skin, their gender, their sexual identity, their physical abilities, or their mental health. Instead of arguing whether football players should protest or who loves America more, let's listen and talk and resolve these issues together. Isn't that the best way to show our love for America? Isn't that the best way to support our troops, many of whom face these discriminations in their lives, especially after they leave the service? Is that not God's will for us? Seeking justice and offering kindness to all people as together we walk humbly with God. In our reading from 2 Timothy this morning, Paul is encouraging his protege, Timothy, to hold fast to the faith he received as a child. Even in the face of evil and persecution, Timothy may trust the instruction he received from his mother and grandmother. The sacred writings, the scriptures in which he has been instructed, will lead him to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. For Paul writes, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." Paul has certainly given Timothy sound advice, which holds true even today. Apart from scripture, we can't know God because we wouldn't know Christ. We might look to nature in awe. We might get an inkling from the Spirit. We might come to believe there is a God of one form or another. But it is only through God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ, offered to us in Holy Scripture, that we can know who this God is. Scripture is to be trusted. Apart from the witness of Scripture, we have no way of knowing God. We may speculate, we may imagine, we may have a stirring in our hearts, but apart from Scripture, we cannot know God in any tangible, life-changing way. Even the witness of others is meaningful only because we come to know Christ through the witness of Scripture. But what do we do when people of good faith disagree in their reading of Scripture? How do we instruct, reprove, correct? How do we determine God's will when we can't even agree on what the Scriptures say? My friends, these are questions each of us must answer for ourselves. For as Presbyterians, we believe God alone is Lord of the conscience, and hath left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men which are in anything contrary to his word, or beside it in matters of faith or worship. each of us will be judged on the capacity of our conscience to understand God's word and discern God's will in the life choices we make. Having said this, I would like to share with you how I go about discerning God's will when I see people of good faith disagreeing on consequential matters. I listen. Where do I hear God's word reflected in their perspective? Sometimes this is enough. For sometimes people base their opinions not on God's word, but on some political perspective or conventional wisdom, something they read on the internet. While these perspectives can have merit, if they stand in contrast to God's word, I look elsewhere to discern God's will. Sometimes listening isn't enough. In listening to all sides, I often hear God's word in even seemingly contradictory perspectives. What do we do then when people of good faith disagree on consequential matters and we hear God's word reflected on all sides? In the question to kneel or not to kneel, the folks against protesting have a biblical point. Romans 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. But the protesters have a biblical point as well. We must stand against discrimination because, as Paul says in Galatians, there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. What are we to do? If both can claim the support of Scripture, how can we discern God's will? Here is where I seek reconciliation. God's word cannot stand in contradiction to itself. So when we disagree, and Scripture seems to support both sides, I look for common ground. Where can we stand together in spite of our differences? For the more successful we are in finding common ground, the greater our chances for discerning God's will and being reconciled in our disagreement. Beloved, I know I've made this way too simple. We are all imperfect people. Our judgments are clouded by sin. All of our efforts to seek and do God's will are fraught with peril. Like Luther, the best thing we can do when we have done God's will in our mind is pray for forgiveness. Nevertheless, as imperfect as we are, if we strive for reconciliation, it's better than the alternative. Seeking reconciliation in Christ always trumps taking sides and adding to the dissension. Beloved, regardless of where you stand or kneel, reach out to the person kneeling or standing next to you and work together for justice and peace in the name of Jesus Christ. This is God's will for us. Thanks be to God.
Amen.